now he calls the wind Mariah. Mark Maron.
Thank you, James. Nice to see you, James.
Hey.
Yeah, it's very nice to see you, James.
Good evening.
Can I call you James? James?
Sure, Mars.
No.
Spelled with a C?
Mark. It's Mark, M-A-R-C. Mark, there's no Marcos, there's no Marcus, it's Mark, period.
Why is it spelled Mars?
The hell's wrong with you?
Jim. M-A-R-C, Mars.
What are you talking about? Mars would be M-A-R-C-E. Jim is short for James. You're just making stuff up.
Jim is short for Santiago.
Is this the way we're going to start our pre-show show?
This is Santiago.
I don't even know what sport we followed tonight. They're putting new sports on. Next week, I think the curling finals are all week, and I think we're going to follow that. And I don't even know how that's scored, and apparently nobody here does, so we might be going on at 2, 3 in the morning. Because where do they have those? And where is that? Where's that sport from even? Denmark?
Canada.
Huh? Canada? It's a Canadian sport. Curling. I didn't know what the hell it was. I always think that there's something cool about watching it, though. It's not a quick game, but those fellows with the brooms, man, bang, they go. They know what they're supposed to do.
So you don't watch curling, per se, as the brooming.
Yeah, it's the broom part that I like. The other thing is just shuffleboard on ice. It's the guys with the broom that really do the business. Folks, this is important stuff. This is relevant stuff. We don't waste time getting into the issues here on the Mark Maron Show on our Friday night pre-show show. This is our 3-minute pre-show show. So, folks, you are listening to Progressive Talk AM 1150. I am Mark Maron. We are coming up on the beginning of our show, but this is just the point where Jim and I sit and chat. You can go to markmaron.com, M-A-R-C-M-A-R-O-N, marshmaron.com. You can call us at 877-520-1150 to talk to us. We've got a big show tonight. I want to remind people that a week from tomorrow, I should not have what did I just eat, a rack of Starburst? That's not the kind of thing you should plow through like that. Is it called a rack or it's not a roll, they're square? What do you call it? This is important. I should write a Jerry Seinfeld joke.
I don't know, man. What is that? Look it up on the internet.
I mean, it's not a roll. Is it a square roll? Is it a rack of Starburst? All I know is I plowed through a bunch of them, drank a Diet Pepsi, and now I'm burping Starburst. The issues, people, this is what's important. This is what we're talking about. Look, comedian Todd Barry is going to be here later. Tonight's Friday Night Funny Night. Is that all right? And what I was going to remind you was that next Saturday, James Earl and myself, James Earl, Jim Earl, little Jimmy Earl, or Big Jim, some people call him. If they don't know him, they have never seen him before because he's not a tiny guy, but he's thin. He's got this, puzzling, very blonde hair with no gray streaks. He is going to be opening for me over there at the in the basement of the piano store. It's big time. You can go to markmaron.com and punch the appearances button there on the right, and you can get information for tickets. That is next Saturday night, I believe, at 8 o'clock at Steinway's, which is a name for a performance space in the basement of a Steinway piano store in Santa Monica.
That's a real place, isn't it? You're not going to,
It's just going to be me and you and some people in a parking lot. We got to go. We got the real show coming up in a second. This has been exciting. And we got the Rapture Watch, Clam Lynch, motivational guru. Stick around. It's all going to happen.
Live from Burbank, California, yay, home to Paul Bunyan and his Blue Ox, it's the Mark Maron Show. And now, he's low on mileage and high on life, Mark Maron.
Thank you, Jim. Hello, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, lurking conservatives, meat eaters and energy wasters, though progressive you may be. How are you, James?
I'm fine,
James
Mark.
Earl.
I'm doing fine, Mars.
Tonight's show, we got comedian Todd Barry. In a minute or two, I'm going to talk to Dr. Michael Greger about mad cow disease, which is sort of a pet obsession of mine. I was off the meat for 7 or 8 months, just out of fear, not even out of concern for the dumb cows, not even out of concern for the planet or the environment, but just clearly out of fear of having prions making tunnels out of my gray matter when I'm 50, and everyone going, oh, he's got Alzheimer's. No, it's mad cow disease. There are prions in my head. Beveling. Would it be beveling? Can they bevel? What does a prion do? I'm going to ask Dr. Greger in a minute. Heather Rogers is going to be here. She's the author of Gone Tomorrow, The Hidden Life of Garbage. She was supposed to be here last night, but something happened. But she's here tonight, and I'm going to talk trash with her. It's like trash. That's like something here on NPR. We're going to talk trash with the author of Garbage.
Fresh air.
Yeah. Motivational guru Clam Lynch will be here. Clam, cut the crap with Clam, people. You're going to like him. He's going to help you out. We got Rapture Watch with Milk Cardinal Milfington. My wife, Mishna Wolf, is going to come by. We're going to talk to her. She got to drop something off, so we might as well have her on the show. Isn't that the way that works?
Oh, man.
Hey, come on.
Great.
Let's do this. Todd Berry's going to be here. Ouch, Todd. Al Madrigal's going to be here. He's funny, too. Got a very informative show and a funny show. A lot happened in the world today, and we want to make sure you're caught up on current events before you go to bed. So here's tonight's edition of the Mark Maron Short Order News. A Kaiser Permanente hospital in Bellflower is under investigation for allegedly dumping elderly and homeless patients on Skid Row. Police knew something was up when several homeless on the street held up signs that read, "We'll work for a $2,000 deductible." After stopping a driver for speeding in a Los Angeles suburb, authorities found a homemade bomb in the backseat of his car. The LAPD removed the bomb from the car, beat it for several minutes, and then laughed after a series of high fives. A new study reports that California sends the second smallest percentage of high school seniors to four-year colleges. When one high school graduate was asked if he would try to attend a four-year school, the student replied, "Four? That comes after three, right?" And that's the Mark Maron Short Order News for tonight. And I'm crumpling up in my hand. Tomorrow, big march, folks, here in Los Angeles, 10 a.m. at Olympia. Starts at Olympic and Broadway. Is it Olympic and Broadway? Yeah. It goes right to City Hall. It's in protest of the Sensenbrenner Act, the H.R. 4437, the Border Protection Anti-Terrorism and Illegal Immigration Control Act of 2005, which heads to the Senate floor next week. Big protest, 10 o'clock tomorrow morning here in Los Angeles. You can go to ufw.org/LaGranMarcha. LaGranMarcha. So let's do this, shall we? Let's talk about Mad Cow for just a second, because there's been three cases. The third case was just found last week. And how long was it in the paper? 10 minutes. One day. Next day, gone. What the hell happened? Why are they burying the mad cow disease? They're burying it like the prions that are in half the people's heads in this country. That's what I'm thinking. I'm scared. It's dangerous. I think that there's a cover-up. I want to talk to this guy that we're going to talk to in a minute. Mad cow disease, bovine spongiform encephalopathy, could cause Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease in humans. I think some people are even skeptical about that. But I can tell you one thing. The agricultural department head there, Agriculture Secretary Mike Johans, or Johans, I'm not clear on how to say it, used to be governor of Nebraska, which means what? He's a beef stooge. So why aren't more people worried about these discoveries, these mad cows? And what are the reasons mad cow disease doesn't sound more alarms? Our guest is an expert on bovine spongiform encephalopathy, or mad cow, as we've come to be calling it. He debated the National Cattlemen's Beef Association before the FDA and was invited as an expert witness at the infamous Oprah Winfrey meat defamation trial. His website is drgreger.org. Dr. Michael Greger, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Good evening.
I'm so glad you're here, because this thing freaks me out a lot. I stopped eating meat for like 6 or 7 months because of it. The last case that was found, not this one from Canada, but the one before that, was so dubious to me. And what I want to know from you right off the bat is, what reason could the USDA possibly have for announcing a reduction in testing for mad cow the day after the new case was found last week?
Well, I mean, the USDA has had this kind of don't look, don't find policy throughout its history of testing. And, you know, I mean, it's if you test for the disease, you're going to find the disease. In fact, I think, you know, a perfect example of this is Creekstone Farms. This Midwest beef exporter wants to voluntarily test all their own cows at their own expense, mm-hmm. and the USDA will not allow them to test their own cows. And, I mean, there's only one reason that could be the case, and they don't want to find any more cases.
How do they stop somebody who wants to do something independent? That seems to go against everything that the government is supposed to do. Why wouldn't they allow an independent beef organization to test their own cows?
There's a century-old regulation on the books that says the USDA can regulate what tests are used. Now, this was originally on the books in the early 1900s because they wanted to have good diagnostic testing. They wanted people using good tests, but they're kind of perverting the original, utility of this century-old legislation to try to quash any testing. And obviously, it makes the big beef corporations nervous to have, you know, if one company starts testing, then there might be pressure for others.
And we might actually have testing. A safe food system. We might actually know what the hell's going on out there.
Unfortunately, we test less than 1% of the cattle in this country, as opposed to some of the places we used to export to, like Japan, which tests 100% of their cattle. In Europe, they test 100% of their cattle over 30 months.
And this is only because of money. This is only to save money and to stop the reality of being known that there's probably a lot more of this out there, and the cost would be exorbitant to actually rid the country of mad cow, most likely.
Well, look, if you take a step back, I mean, that greed is kind of where this came from in the first place.
Right.
The reason we're feeding cows slaughterhouse waste, blood, and manure is because it saves on feed costs.
And that's what causes it, right?
That's what causes it, right? Because we've turned these kind of natural herbivores, livestock, not only into meat eaters, but into cannibals as well.
Into garbage cans, too. I mean, it's disturbing. Because I remember this last cow, the one from last week, the one before that they had had the test or the body parts sitting around for weeks. They didn't know which body parts belonged to what cow. It just reeked of a complete cover-up to me. Did you get that sense?
No, and in fact, not only did you and I both get that sense, but the Inspector General of the USDA in a report earlier this year reported that indeed that the case was mishandled and that the USDA was trying to cover up an initial positive result, which was only confirmed when they finally were forced, once it became public, to send it to the international lab in the United Kingdom.
So let's just ask straight out. How much mad cow do you think is out there?
But we don't know. Until we test, we won't know, and that's why, of course, we're not testing. But the same practices that are going on in other places of the world where mad cow disease has come from continue here. We're actually the only country left that continues to feed slaughterhouse waste, the only country with mad cow disease that continues to feed slaughterhouse waste to their livestock. This was banned in Europe, banned in Southeast Asia. The World Health Organization over 10 years ago called for all countries to stop these risky practices, but yet they continue.
But don't they do it in devious ways? Isn't there loopholes? I thought that they couldn't directly feed them blood, but they can feed them chicken waste from chickens that were feeding on cows.
In 1997, the FDA put forth these feed regulations, but they specifically exempted blood. So they continue to wean calves on cattle blood. It's a spray-like cattle blood. It's the protein and milk replacer. So we're still, in that way, feeding cattle tissue to calves in this country. It continues. The FDA promised to end the practice after the first case was discovered, the end of 2003. They have yet to do anything about it. We continue, the Inspector General just found out, we continue to shuffle these downer cattle that are too sick to stand, too sick or crippled to even stand, are still going into the human food supply. We're still feeding, you know, the riskiest possible tissues, the brains, the eyes, the spinal cord, the intestine, still going and being fed to people, pigs, pets, poultry, fish. This shouldn't happen. The World Health Organization says it shouldn't happen, and it's been banned everywhere else in the world.
It's awful. And now let's get to the – does mad cow conclusively cause Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease in humans?
Mad cow disease conclusively causes variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease in humans. The controversy is whether it causes the sporadic form or the so-called classic form of Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, of which we have hundreds of cases and probably thousands of cases, since we know from Alzheimer's disease autopsy case series that a small percentage of autopsies of Alzheimer's victims are also dying of the sporadic Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. And the question is, where does that disease come from? More and more evidence is building that indeed the sporadic, the classic Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, which we do have hundreds of people dying from in the United States, may indeed be traced back to the meat supply.
Oh, wow, man. This is it's so powerfully disturbing to me, but I think it's such a classic example of how cronyism and lobbies have stifled and stopped public safety.
We have a very, very powerful beef lobby. Beef actually is the largest segment of American agriculture. We have a multi-billion dollar export industry alone in beef, which, of course, came to an end with our first discovered case, essentially. This is big business. And they've really gone to extraordinary lengths to try to, reduce safeguards and fighting tooth and nail to even the simplest. I mean, even Canada has banned the feeding of poultry litter, poultry manure, bird dropping to cattle because they know they're spilled. Because you can feed the cows to the chickens,
right?
And there's spilled feed in the litter, or the prions go right through the chickens into the droppings, and then they scrape that up from the broiler shed floors, and that goes right into cattle feed. Why? To save money.
You know, I know there, Dr. Greger, I know there are people driving home listening to us with they just bought a bag of Jack in the Box, and their dinner has just been completely ruined. But that's all right. I think that's what we're here to do, is to share the information. But I want you to stay with me, and I want you to help us with some solutions. My partner here, Jim's a vegetarian, and there are environmental issues at hand about meat consumption. I know you do a lot of dietary stuff as well. Will you stay with us?
Sure.
Great. Thank you. We're talking to Dr. Michael Greger. He is a mad cow specialist, and we'll be back with him. You're listening to The Mark Maron Show. It is 20 past.
And now the sea is his mistress, Mark Maron.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, people. 23 past the hour. It's Friday night. It was a beautiful day today. We are on the phone with Dr. Michael Greger, a bovine spongiform encephalopathy expert, mad cow expert. It has been a grim reminder of just how much we don't know and how much this government doesn't allow us to know, given that the United States Department of Agriculture has been sold out to beef stooges. But I would like to continue the conversation, Dr. Greger, and ask, is anybody, because I didn't eat meat for about 6 months, and it was okay. I ate too much fish, which isn't necessarily good. But is everybody who eats meat doomed? What can we do?
No, in fact, we don't know what the safety of the American beef supply is. Unfortunately, by the time we do know, it may be too late because there's a long incubation period for these diseases. It can be decades between one eating an infected burger and actually coming down with the first symptoms before this kind of downward spiral. The reason people are concerned about mad cow disease is there's no treatment, no cure, and one cannot cook this disease out of the meat. Unlike other foodborne diseases found in fish, found in poultry, found in eggs like Salmonella, E. coli, if the meat is properly handled and cooked, these pathogens will be killed. Unfortunately, the prions that cause disease like mad cow disease and the human equivalent can be literally incinerated at temperatures hot enough to melt lead and still retain infectivity. That's why it's a kind of a particular concern within the entire food safety realm.
What are they, from outer space?
Well, I mean, because they don't have any associated nucleic acid, RNA, or DNA. It's simply a protein, this little compact protein, and they aren't destroyed by cooking, canning, freezing, usable doses of UV or ionizing radiation, stomach acid, digestive enzymes, all ineffective in destroying their infectivity. Even heat sterilization, domestic bleach, formaldehyde sterilization, all have little or no effect. That's why people are particularly worried about this brand of diseases.
It sounds like you really have to equip your kitchen to even begin to fight that, but I'm joking. But Dr. Greger, let's talk about what we can do in terms of. Do you recommend a vegetarian diet?
I do recommend a plant-based diet to all my patients. The more people can center their diet around whole, healthy plant foods, and the farther they can move away from animal products, particularly those laden with saturated fat, the better it is for not only, talking about foodborne illness, but the chronic disease epidemic of obesity, diabetes, strokes, cancer, heart disease, et cetera.
So, Jim, this is my friend Jim here, doctor. He's a vegetarian, and you're singing his song right now.
Absolutely, yeah. Is this something that could be transferred, through dairy products as well?
It's very kind. The World Health Organization has come out and said that dairy is safe. At the same time, they say that, you know, that no tissues, including milk from an infected cow, should be eaten. And unfortunately, here in the U.S., since we don't do enough testing, we have a difficult time finding which cows are infected and which cows aren't. In fact, it is the dairy calves that are fed the milk replacer. Why? Because the milk is ours, right? It belongs on the shelf. So what do the calves get? The calves get milk replacer, which too often contains sprayed red cattle blood as a protein-rich component. There was this study published New England Journal early 90s of this Japanese woman with Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease whose colostrum, whose first breast milk, was found infectious in mice. And so there is at least some evidence that these prions can be, you know, okay, it can be transferred through milk, but is it just colostrum, the first milk, or, you know, there's been no studies on bovine milk.
Okay, well, I've done some reading on the other stuff. I'm going to try and turn a corner here before we end the interview. I know a lot of people on these no-carb diets, and you don't think they're healthy, right?
Speaking about greed industries, right, the Atkins Corporation built a multi-billion dollar empire, not only on a lie, but on a, you know, dangerous, unscientific lie.
There you go. So, well, that's good because I like eating beans and rice and all the good stuff. So, Dr. Michael Greger, it's been very informative. I'm glad we got to have this conversation. I am thoroughly disturbed by it all, and that means that you did your job. So I hope we can talk to you again sometime.
Absolutely. Be happy to come back on.
Thank you, sir. Good night. So that was heavy.
That is so damn disturbing. It is absolutely.
You know, it's like I want to learn a couple of things, but that guy was so compelling and so graphic that literally, you know, I my mind was blown.
It's like being in the movie The Andromeda Strain.
Well, guess what? We're going to keep it up because we're going to have Heather Rogers out here to talk about the trash problem, that we are literally burying ourselves in trash. And we're just going to be a planet, just a planet that is going to be the dump of the galaxy. Oh, boy, this is really upbeat for a Friday night. Stay with us, man, because I'm sure you can't get enough of this. Heather Rogers coming up next.
Now he's got the largest jackpot in California. Mark Maron.
Yeah. What are they, from outer space, those prions?
Bing.
Come on, what are they? Those prions sound like they're from outer space to me, Jim.
Silence. Bud.
Boy, I'm really going to have to...
May, June, July.
I'm really going to have to, you know, equip my kitchen if I'm going to need to kill a prion. Nothing. Crickets. The guy gave me nothing. Dr. Greger of the Mad Cow Guy. Boy, that was something, man. Cows eating blood and chicken poop. And I knew all that stuff. And still hearing him say it with the intensity and then describing a prion, even though I didn't understand it, I was like, this is like the most evil science fiction villain ever created. It has no nucleus. It's only a protein. Nothing can kill it. The heat of the sun cannot kill a prion. And they're after your brain. Man. Next, we're going to talk trash with Heather Rogers, whose book, Gone Tomorrow, The Hidden Life of Garbage. Isn't that so NPR? We're going to talk trash with the woman who wrote Gone Tomorrow, The Hidden Life of Garbage. But first, let's close out this thing with the meat. We got Philip in L.A. Philip, lay some wisdom on us.
Hey, Mark.
What?
Let me ask you a quick question. I have a couple of things I want to talk to you about. One is, who would you rather have sex with, Whole Foods or Ralph's?
Well, I imagine that I'd rather have sex with Whole Foods, but I know there's going to be a lot of insanity afterwards.
Well, you know what? I mean, you can't even, when you were putting down Whole Foods the other night with Lori Insane David on the air, that was like, you know what? you got to pick your grocery stores properly. I mean, I understand you want to criticize, you know, we criticize, like, you know, our Democrats, like Lieberman, who deserves it. Now, he's like Ralph's, but...
You know what, though? I'll be honest with you, Philip. Today I went to Albertsons and I was proud. Today I turned my back on Trader Joe's and I was not going to go to Whole Foods because I only go to Whole Foods for a few things because it's so damn expensive. And I was at Albertsons and I was actually proud that I wasn't shopping at Trader Joe's because even though I like Trader Joe's, sometimes I'm just sort of like I've had enough of it.
Here's the problem with Trader Joe's. They're deceptive and they're evil.
Wow.
Whole Foods actually is a great company. They do these things that are called teams where people get benefits. They're treated with respect.
I know
employees.
That. I know.
Plus, they have a thing that no other store has, which is the humane animal killing bill or whatever. They're
okay. I think if you recall, Philip, that my only criticism was I think they leave the salad bar food out too much. I got a tummy ache.
Well, I think you should go to, like, Ralph's and look at some of the people that put out the salad bar there.
I'm not going to eat the salad bar at Ralph's. All right. Well, what's the other thing?
Listen, I have a question for you. Not a question. Forget the questions. I'm done with the questions. I want to just say one thing to you. Listen, why did you get so bummed out about the guy that was on before?
I didn't get bummed out. I had him on. He was my choice. I wanted to learn.
I know. But you know why? I'll tell you why.
I need to scare myself off the meat again.
Let me tell you why you got so bummed. You got so bummed because you were fearing for, like, something attacking you and hurting you.
Yeah, exactly.
So can you imagine, which no one ever talks about, can you imagine what the life is like for an animal that's raised for food in a factory farm? I know, listen.
Dude, he got through to me. You don't have to.
Nothing pollutes the world worse than animal. There's no sewer system for one major slaughterhouse. Kills 35,000 animals
a day. Okay, I'm going to kill myself.
There's a sewer system for those animals.
Where's
all that crap go? No, what I'm saying is no one talks about the horrible suffering that those animals, they're no different than a dog or cat. They live inside gigantic factories. They never. The first time they see the sun is when they're trucked to slaughter.
It's an animal holocaust. That's what it is.
Hey, you know, we're going to talk about the unsolvable trash problem now, Philip.
Please do.
I'm going to get off the meat again. I hear you, and I'm going to spread the word.
Listen.
What?
I appreciate it. I'm going to probably see you tomorrow night. That's all I'm saying. So, you know,
I'm not telling anybody about that because I don't know what the hell's going to happen. But thanks for coming down.
I will be polite.
How'd you know I was going to be there tomorrow night?
Hey, listen, I know Greg Poops quite well.
Oh, okay, cool. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right,
is he on the show?
My show?
Is he on the show tomorrow night?
No, not that I know of.
Okay, man. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
That was Philip, who I don't know, but I'm going to know, apparently. He made his point. Now let's talk to Heather. We talked at length about, we always talk about the environment here in a lot of different methods, in a lot of different ways. But we talk about industrial waste, we're talking about meat, but we haven't really discussed the impact of plain old garbage. Just the stuff you throw away, it stacks up in my kitchen all the time. I'm amazed how much garbage I have. On the phone from New York is the author of Gone Tomorrow, The Hidden Life of Garbage. Everyone should read this book because we often forget. I don't even know, really, where the trash goes. So, Heather Rogers, thanks for coming on tonight.
Hi, Mike. Mark, thanks for having me.
I know. You know, we missed you last night, but I understand that there was an issue, and I'm so excited you're here now.
Me too.
Because I like your book, and I like the cover of the book. I like the whole idea of the book. When I saw the book, I was immediately drawn to the book. Now, I want to know, let's just get right out in the open about this. First of all, let's start with recycling. Does it do anything?
Recycling does do some things. It's important to be conscious of the fact that recycling cans and bottles and paper is better than sending it to the landfill or to the incinerator, absolutely. But recycling has limits because the main problem with recycling is that it's a back-end solution that deals with waste after it's already been made, and that's a problem. And only 5% of all plastic gets recycled, only a third of all glass bottles get recycled, so we're looking at a serious problem. Because you know there are also market forces that inhibit the expansion and building an infrastructure for recycling. It could be better than it is,
right.
But even if it's at its optimal, it's still a back end solution that's dealing with waste after it's already there.
All right, let's talk about the. Let's try and bring it around now. The business of garbage. So where I mean, your book is like it's so expansive. That I had no idea. I knew garbage was bad, and I knew from living in New York and just seeing, you know, the landfill over there on Staten Island that can't be good. And if you see any landfill, you know it can't be good. But I had just, you know, no real conception of how bad it is because there is no solution to garbage, is there?
There is no solution to garbage, no matter how much money, how many of the greatest minds in the research institutions and on corporate campuses apply their skills to solving how you can encapsulate rotting garbage and toxic chemicals, you know, sealed beneath the earth. They can't ever do that in a way that's going to be benign.
And also there's a huge business in garbage.
Absolutely. And what we see today is corporations like Waste Management Incorporated, Allied Services, and Republic Services, which are the top three corporations in the garbage handling industry, in charge of landfills, which 85% of what gets disposed of in the U.S. goes to landfills, and the rest goes to incinerators. But so most of it, the vast majority, goes to landfills. And you've got these corporations in charge of these environmental time bombs, and it's a very serious problem.
The way you describe it in the book was, I don't know if you heard our last guest, you probably didn't because he was already gone by the time you were on the phone, but he was describing mad cow disease and what causes that. The way you describe garbage and landfills in your book, it's equally as disturbing. But they always put the onus on us because I feel guilty. I'm separating my garbage. I'm throwing stuff away in the right way. I'm not getting too much plastic. But the way you describe some of the like the plastic bags have become such a problem in other countries that they're outlawed, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Plastic bags are outlawed and also taxed to discourage the use of them in countries like Bangladesh, Ireland, and parts of Africa. And so the point that you make is so important about that you feel guilty, because what has happened over the last 50 years has been this construction, not only a perfection of the way that we dispose of our garbage, which is a method which I talk about in the book, I give the whole history of this, it's a method that disappears our waste, that makes us think that it's okay, you know, by virtue of it disappearing, we think that it's okay that we continue with our levels of mass consumption. But also, over the last 50 years, there's been the shaping of public perceptions of what garbage is and who's responsible for garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that story, that cultural narrative has been constructed, it's that you, the individual, are responsible for these wastes. So whenever today you hear it, every time people talk about garbage, they say, we need to get at garbage at its source. We need to deal with this problem at the source. And the source is you, the consumer.
Mm.
That's not the source. The source is the producers. The source of the waste that we have, the packaging waste, the e-waste, you know, all our computers are designed to last for 2 years.
E-waste. Could you explain that to me, please? What is that?
E-waste is electronic waste. So computers, cell phones, DVD players, iPods, all these things which we buy, which have things like lead, mercury, cadmium, brominated
right.
flame retardants, very toxic, virulent form of waste. It's the fastest growing category of waste in the U.S. today. And so what we've got is we've got manufacturers that are making choices during the production process that us consumers are excluded from. Now, the argument always gets made that
what are those choices?
Manufacturers make choices based on consumer demand.
And so
you vote with your dollar. Except what I show in my book is that isn't the case. There are choices that manufacturers and industries make based on their underlying motivating force, which is to make the highest possible profits, and that's what drives their decision making.
Okay, so let me clarify some of that for myself and for the people that are listening. Is what you're saying is that it's not based on the market. What these manufacturers do is they create cheaply constructed products or products that will go out of style or be useless within a 2 year period of time. You talk a little bit about planned obsolescence, which I was obsessed with. Believe it or not, when I first read about planned obsolescence, which was actually it was designed by an industrial designer. The idea came up by to this guy, Brooke Stevens, who was an industrial designer who realized that he can make people buy the same thing again in 2 years by just adding things to it.
Precisely.
And I was so obsessed with it because it's one of those ideas that you see the world through. You understand how business works when you understand planned obsolescence and that it is of design. And because of the way that marketing works in your book, you flesh out the fact that there is no keeping up with the there is no way to stifle the garbage because nothing is designed to last.
Well, there's no way to stifle the garbage until we redesign the production process, which means a democratization of the use of our natural resources and the decisions made during the production process.
Now, you think that can actually happen on this planet anytime soon?
What needs to happen is that we need to take back government. We need to say, no, the state must act on behalf of environmental and human health and not as a handmaiden of business. You know, that needs to change,
yes.
Period. Like, you know, and that means that people need to get involved and start demanding for those kinds of changes. And those are changes that you know, these aren't new demands. In the 1970s, environmental and other kinds of activists were calling for greater product durability, greater product serviceability, democratic participation in what kinds of packaging manufacturers were allowed to use. And so these aren't new things. These are things that we need to take a closer look at and I think revitalize today. But in terms of how built-in obsolescence came about and the role that it plays, it's crucial when you're talking about garbage today to understand this idea of built-in obsolescence. And it's also important, I think, to say that it's not just this evil conspiracy that that manufacturers have decided to cast upon us normal people. It's actually, if you step back and look at it, it's the product of the logic of the economic system that we live in. And so, built-in obsolescence was a solution to the problem in the late 1950s of what's often called overproduction. And what happened at that point in time is that, you had these assembly lines, these mass production assembly lines that were so prolific that consumption could not keep pace with production. So the problem, and this is true today, the problem isn't production. The problem is how do you get people to consume more so that it can keep pace with the amount of output? I mean, Detroit still,
if
you look at Ford and GM mm-hmm. today, the problem they have is that people aren't buying enough cars. It's not that they can't produce them fast enough.
Right, so they need people to buy more, which means more and more garbage.
Exactly.
Well, Heather, it was great talking to you, and I feel like we learned a lot.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark.
And I might want to talk to you again in the future if we are able to bring this issue up again. Is that all right?
That would be fantastic.
Well, thanks for joining us. You take care.
Thanks for your great questions.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Gone Tomorrow, The Hidden Life of Garbage. Fascinating book. Planned obsolescence. Because even stuff like IKEA, which is heralded as this beautiful, wonderful company in design and how they manufacture things, but it's all designed to be garbage very quickly. Okay, I gotta go. Gotta go to a break. We'll come back. Sorry, I didn't mean to make you start the music again, Chris. I'm an idiot. I'm starting new to the medium. 50 past.
And now his can is recyclable. Mark Maron.
Oh, what does that mean?
She says, double entendre in there.
What are you? Yeah, you're just messing with my head, man.
Your can.
Oh, you're messing with my head.
That first, let me tell you something. That first hour, Jim, brain bending and disturbing. I'm going to stop eating and stop throwing things away. I'm going to be a self-contained person. Those people that are like, you don't have to eat anything and you can persist. Do you know those people that don't eat anything and still live somehow?
No, I don't.
I think
know
they drink
people.
Their own pee though, or something weird. Have you heard about those people?
That's cannibalism.
No, it's not.
It's your own cells.
It's a self-contained system. I don't think there's cells in pee.
There are in mine.
You have cells in your pee?
I'm doing it wrong.
Hey. At least.
Should have done that for that doctor. Where's that doctor now? He would have laughed at that.
Are they from outer space?
Yeah. Doctor? Are they from outer space?
Do you have prions in your pee? I gotta say, I'm being a little too chipper considering what I've just gone through. My wife is here, in the studio. Hello, Mishna Wolf, comedian Mishna Wolf.
Hi.
Who I don't always say is my wife because she doesn't like it. How are you?
I'm good.
You're a comedian. But I got a question for you, baby. Went out there, out where your bag is, okay? And I guess you were in the bathroom. I'm not sure, where you were, but there's your backpack, that Goliath backpack that you carry, and I see the mail in there. So I take out the mail to see if I got any mail, and there's literally 8 envelopes that apparently have been returned to our address to the Jiffy Lube on La Brea.
Yeah, you shouldn't have done that.
Well, no, I'm going to open one because I imagine it's about money. How much money did I lose on this? Do you want to do it? Here, why don't you do it, and why don't you tell me what is in the envelope and share it with the people. If we're going to take – this might be good radio. I don't know, but let's try and resolve something. What's in that envelope? What are you holding? What is that?
It's a letter.
It's a letter to Jiffy Lube? Is it about money? Did you lose money? Where's my?
It's not a money letter so much to Jiffy Lube. It's a letter actually I wrote.
Do you want to get on with it and read it and maybe fill me in and my listeners as to
You know what? You don't want to hear this, Mark.
Why don't you just read the letter, Mishna?
Dear handsome Hispanic man at Jiffy Lube, you don't have to put a protective cover over the seat before you move my car over the pit. Unlike those uppity women in Brentwood, I don't hate the smell of your swarthy hair products.
What the hell is this?
I can stop.
Go.
I feel really bad you had to sully your bulging, manly hands today, changing my oil because I still don't know how. If I could, I'd buy you your own Jiffy Lube where you don't even have to work and you could just run your fingers through your hair all day. I mean, you'd still have to change my oil because I don't know how. But other than that, you'd be free. Anyways, I'm not going to make a crappy lube joke here. I just want you to know that I appreciate all that you are doing, and I know I'm a married woman, but you are singularly the best thing ever to come out of Jiffy Lube. Stay golden, Jiffy man.
Well, that's just great. So now, what, you're having an affair with the... I'm going to open the other one. Here, why don't you read this one? What do we got with this one? You didn't even get the address.
Dear handsome Hispanic man at Jiffy Lube.
This is number two.
Yes.
Great. Where's this going? I'm glad I had to do this. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm back. I know it's only been 1,800 miles since my last oil change, but I had to see you again. You don't know what I had to do to get Bay 1. I had to request Bay 1. But that's not the point. The point is I spent an hour in the waiting room with two white hip-hop girls, hoping for a moment with you. I just had to see if what I felt was real. I felt we had a moment there when I was here last month, and you were showing me how dirty my air filter was. I know that that was the only way you could tell me you saw me, too, because I know that my air filter isn't dirty. And I've been thinking about it ever since. Anyways, if you want me to, just give me a sign. You know, I'm sorry again you had to sully your perfect... manly hands with changing my oil. I would do it for you, but I still don't know how. And even if I could, I think people might start to talk, so better not, huh?
And now he folds up for your convenience, Mark Maron.
Thank you, James. Thank you very much. Hello, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor. Lurking conservatives, if you don't know by now, prions are from outer space. That's what I got to say. I'm sorry I cut my wife off at the end of the last hour. I got lost. I was seething. I'm sitting here with eight letters, returned letters, that she sent to a Jiffy Lube on La Brea that apparently she didn't get the address right. Eight letters, two of which she read, that she's having some sort of flirtation or obsession, I'm not clear, with a Hispanic man in Bay 1, apparently. So now I got this other letter I just read on the break. Why don't we just continue this, Misha? I think it's really working for me.
See, I don't understand why you want to do this to yourself.
Look, man, honey,
I can read the letter. I just don't understand why you want to keep doing it to yourself.
Because I think it's important. I think it's important that this to me is good radio. This is what people do on radio. And, you know, if you've got this thing, we're going to play this out. Clearly it didn't get to the guy. I don't know how far this has gone. But why don't you just read another one, and then in a minute we'll bring Cut the Crap with Clam in, because apparently I'm going to need a little motivation.
Dear handsome Hispanic man at Jiffy Lube, I'm really getting frustrated here.
Oh, great.
Last week you said I needed new wiper blades, which I knew meant you wanted to see me again because my wiper blades are like brand new. So I came back for my new wiper blades, and you went on break. If you're playing games with me, I want you to know that I can play games, too.
This is hard.
Not to quote a song, but game is my middle name.
Mm. You don't even talk to me like this. This is crap. You know what? Why don't you go... I'm not going to just send you out
of
the room.
Wait. Let me finish the letter. Because this is where it gets good.
Great.
But I really thought we were past that, you and I. And I went ahead and made myself too vulnerable to your Latino charms. You have me in your hechizo. Did I say that right? I'm trying to learn your language. It makes me feel close to you, the girl from Bay 1.
I can't deal with this. You know what? Why don't you just get out of here for a minute?
See, that's why you shouldn't look through people's stuff.
Look through your stuff. It was returned in the mailbox. Send Clam in because I need help.
Okay.
Would you? Unbelievable. I'm going to do some jokes to try and break this thing up, and then maybe we'll read a few more of these terrific letters in a little while. Yeah, just pull it. It's a door. All right. A lot happened in the world today, and we want to make sure you're caught up on current events before you go to bed. So here's tonight's edition of Mark Maron's Short Order News. We can do that? No? That makes sense. Yay! A Kaiser Permanente hospital in Bellflower is under investigation for allegedly dumping elderly and homeless patients on Skid Row. Skid Row lead singer Sebastian Bach said, "We just give him a cowbell and let him start kicking out the jams. No big whoop." After stopping a driver for speeding in a Los Angeles suburb, authorities found a homemade bomb in the backseat of his car. In the man's favor, he did explain he was late for a taping of Entertainment Tonight. A new study reports that California sends the second smallest percentage of high school seniors to four-year colleges. There were more figures in the report. However, the ink was smeared by some drool of a nearby Army recruiter. And that's Mark Maron's Short Order News for tonight. I am sorry if I was mean to my wife, but, I mean, that's kind of hard to hear. Am I wrong? Am I wrong, James?
You know, I was really just kind of titillated by the whole thing, to tell you the truth.
Great. Whose side are you on? Are we building a relationship, or are you titillated?
Man, I got similar letters from her like a month ago.
Oh, great. Well, you know, I was with Heather in Phoenix, so deal with it.
Yeah, I know about that. I got the pictures.
Oh, Mr. Open-Minded, huh?
Yeah,
you're a swinger,
sure
huh?
Am.
Yeah. Oh, good for you, swinger vegetarian guy. Folks, are you depressed? Are you angry? Are you sad? Are you broke? Are you tired? You can't sleep? Can't stay awake? Unable to pay your bills? Lonely? Bitter? Bored? Hungry? Confused? Disappointed? Drunk? In prison? Mentally or physically? Uninspired? Unattractive? Working at a job you hate? Hanging out with people you hate and hate you? Undersexed? Underpaid? Underappreciated? Underweight? Overweight? Overworked? Overstressed? If you said even one of these questions, a yes to that, my next guest just might be able to help you. Inspirational, motivational life coach, Clam Lynch, with his dynamic Cut the Crap with Clam program. How are you, Clam?
Good. Good.
I really appreciate you being here because I know you're busy.
Thanks. Yeah, I just came from a seminar.
Oh, you just, actually. I could tell you're actually wearing the headset still and you've got your suit on.
That's right.
Where was the seminar tonight?
It was in East L.A.
Uh-huh.
And it was funny. I got a new manager,
uh-huh.
So I'm kind of working out the kinks. But it was a ESL room mm-hmm. where they and my Espanol poquito.
Yeah.
So you know, I was really pushing the motivation, but I mean, I think it went bien.
Okay. Good.
It was
good.
Bien, but,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, I want you to help me because I don't know if you know, I guess there's a Latino theme throughout this evening.
I noticed that. I heard that earlier.
But, you know, I can't, that's out of my control. And I've got a few problems that I want you to address. And I'll be honest with you,
Let's
Clam.
Do it. Let's do it.
My primary problems is, and I hate to admit these things, but I'm going to admit them to you. I want to be liked, and I want more people to like me. And it's a concern of mine because I think I alienate people, and it's something that's kind of important to me. I don't mind alienating a few people, but I'd like to be liked by more people.
Right.
Yeah. What can I do?
Okay. First off,
yeah.
What I want you to do is start carrying $1 bills.
Right.
Like a roll of them like
okay.
this.
Okay, yeah.
Well, I gave out a lot
okay.
this evening already. But
yeah.
And what you do is you just go ahead and give those to people. Here, I'll give them.
You just hand out $1 bills.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay.
Want one of these?
So you just gave one to Jim and to Bill.
Buy yourself a, go down. There's a machine over
Chris
there.
From Kansas.
Whatever you
board.
Want. Free.
So you hand out $1
bills. So that's
bill.
A good start. That's
okay.
a good place to start. Just
right.
hand out some money.
Okay.
Now, another thing I like to do mm-hmm. is something I call reverse gossip.
Right. How's that work?
What it is you could do it yourself or have a friend do it or hire my company.
Okay.
We actually provide this service. Where we spread good gossip about you.
It's like a publicist almost.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, like, say we'd come in the office and I might, you know, off the top of my head say, did you know that Mark used to be a dwarf? You know,
huh.
and that must have been hard for him.
Oh.
I mean, just to create almost like a sympathy.
Right.
I would
okay.
say, you know,
okay.
something
interesting.
Get a hold of that Mark. I saw him out there putting quarters in all the meters.
Just to
Isn't
help out.
Isn't that great about
yeah.
him?
Uh-huh.
You know, and that kind of sets a vibration
uh-huh.
and gets people kind of, well, I never really thought of Mark that way.
Okay.
You know? So I call that reverse gossip.
Okay.
And
that'll get people to like me.
That's right.
And what, you got any other tips?
Yeah, I got one. It's where we kind of like people.
Right.
You know, because you.
How's that work?
Well, it's you pick something about someone,
yeah.
say like their ears.
Yeah.
And you say, I like your ears. I like that guy's ears. And you actually say it to him, hey, I like your ears.
And that'll get him to like me or her to like me.
Well, yeah, it starts a vibration.
It's a vibration
process. If you don't like anyone, no one's going to like you.
Oh, then
I mean, that's just a law, right? Yeah. So you got to find something about people. Like, that's a nice mug you got there.
Right, sure.
You
sure.
Know, that's
and that
nice...
helps out, right.
Yeah.
All right, now let's go with another problem.
Okay.
The other problem I have is not only do I want to be liked, but I, you know, even though I host a big time radio show that has powerful speakers like yourself on, I you know, I'd like to be more successful in my life, Clam. What can I do to be more successful in my life?
Okay.
Do you have to check your notes? Well, are you new at this?
No, I'm not new at this. I'm just a little poquito tired from that last seminar and the yelling. I yelled a lot. I don't
really?
Know.
Yeah, you were screaming.
It's a language thing.
Oh, that's what some people do is when they can't speak the language, you think if you speak louder, they'll understand
you. I say, Paquito Casa, you are muy grande casa. Cut the crap. You know, I was in the pointing to the, and yelling and giving out the dinero.
Right. Well, that's what I want, a more grande casa.
Si.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would do is first, you know, I have my website. I just throw that out there, clamlynch.com, and that kind of gives you a rundown of some of the tools that I use.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I've been doing recently, and I was voted, I just wanted not to toot my own toot string, but I was voted one of the top 8,000 motivational speakers in the Southern California area.
Well, congratulations, Clam.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about that. And so what I want to do is I want to get you to do a couple of things. One is to go ahead and invest in a box, like a sturdy box.
A cardboard box?
Yeah, cardboard, sure.
Sure, okay.
If that's where you're at financially.
Yeah, I get it.
Well, you'll grow from there.
Okay.
And what I want you to do is just put it right beside your bed.
Yeah.
And when you get up in the morning, just go ahead and look at that box and just kind of visualize it full of money.
Okay.
You know, and what you want to do is just keep staring at it. Just stare at it.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, 5 minutes, 60 minutes, whatever it takes.
Uh-huh.
And just see that box filled with money.
Yeah.
And that's called visualization.
Okay. So that'll make me more successful.
Yeah, that's going to help.
Okay.
That's going to get you started.
Uh-huh.
And let's see. What's another? You want to talk to yourself a lot.
Yeah.
And I find that's easier these days with the cell phones.
Sure.
They're so small.
Yeah.
You know, anyone can really, when you want to do your affirmations, which I'm a big fan of, you can just kind of get a, I just grab a plastic spoon or something, just hold it right up there to
anything,
ear.
Sure.
Yeah, or whatever, a shoe, and, or your finger, or cup your ear.
Just cup your hand walking down
and
the street.
Just walk around, just say things, or have important conversations.
What? Like what kind of things?
Like, hey, just, you are a good guy.
Hmm.
No, yeah, you're well successful, sure. Hmm.
With your hand or a shoe or
your shoe or a hand or a spoon.
Ear. Sure.
And just keep saying successful words. Use a lot of words that are successful.
Okay.
You know.
Now, let's just get the listeners before we wrap up here. Tell them about the cut the crap system.
Okay. Cut the crap is it's a system I came up with where you cut the crap out of your life. You cut it when you're having a bad thought about yourself, like I'm not good enough, I don't know if this is going so well, I'm feeling a panic attack coming on right now as I'm talking to Mark. You know, things of that nature, as they come up, you want to cut that right
and
out.
And then you got to make that hand
motion.
Yeah,
and if you could see that, if we were...
It's like a cutting motion.
And yeah.
So sometimes, like, if I was doing the affirmations with the spoon in my head, and some bad affirmation came in, I want to cut the crap.
You want to do a cutting motion
with your hands,
physical cutting motion.
Maybe throw the shoe down or the spoon down the cutting motion.
Yeah, and if you're driving with maybe a cigarette and the coffee, you want it with a one hand, maybe, for safety.
Do a one-hand cutting motion.
One cutting like that, and getting rid of the thoughts as they come up.
Now, what about the breathing exercise?
The breathing exercise, that's called, I call that shame in, shame out.
Nice.
And what you want to do is you want to use that power of shame, you know, and use that to energize you.
Sure.
You know, say you fall down in front of someone.
Right.
Or you soil yourself. I don't know. I'm off the top of my head. What you want to do is you want to take that shame in. Shame out. You want to utilize that power and just and work with it because it's a strong, strong emotion. And,
Thank you. And Clam, people can go to, what's the website again?
It's clamlynch.com.
Okay. And I'm going to right now breathe my shame in. Shame out. Thank you,
dynamite.
Clam.
Dynamite.
It's about 19 past the hour, folks. Stay with us.
Thank you.
Consider the lilies.
Then consider your ass in hell.
That's Rapture Watch with Milt Cardo Milkington coming up next.
And now he's wearing the depression patch. Mark Maron.
I am not depressed. I'm having problems. My wife, who's having some sort of mental affair, the Hispanic man who works at a Jiffy Lube, cut me some slack, and I might have prions in my head.
Sounds like she's having a full-fledged affair.
Wait, easy, James.
It's not just a letter thing. I mean, it sounds like it's really full-on to me.
Easy, James. James, take me to the character. The Bible's book of Revelations portends the end of days and the second coming of the Christian Messiah, one of our president's favorite stories. Though no one knows when the end times will come, there are signs that will appear to men. That's why we present this week's Rapture Watch with MILF Cardinal Milfington of the recently disgraced Diocese of Missoula, Montana. Your grace.
Sit forward in your seats, ye sticky eaters of chiclets. For the double feature of God's vengeance is showing, and your sinful part is about to appear. Right after Ned Beatty's hilarious rape scene in Deliverance and any scrap of film with Calista Flockhart on it. Ye have tarried too long in Lucifer's lobby, fornicators, feasting on Mephistopheles' milk duds, Beelzebub's bonbons, and Reese's peanut butter cup. And now ye are doomed to spend an eternity in Satan's Cineplex, sitting in front of a guy who coughs and won't stop kicking your seat. For your hearts have become a giant soda cup of emptiness, and your soul's a half-eaten goober stuck to your shoe. The rapture is here, heresicites. For according to National Geographic magazine, or should I say National Pornographic, I mean, how many pictures of naked natives can they show every month, right? I mean, what? Huh? The planet Jupiter has developed another red spot they affectionately call Oval B.A., apparently standing for Beelzebub's beautiful anus.
Cardinal, isn't that BBA? I mean, all you did was put an extra B in there so you could say beautiful before anus. Was that...
Oh, tata makatapata! Satan, your observational comic abilities are strong today. Perhaps next you'll point out the differences between cats and dogs. Or tell me what those little plastic things on the ends of shoestrings are called. What are they called anyway?
Aglets?
What is the deal with those things anyway? Grr, Satan! Stop using this misguided Hebrew as a conduit for evil purposes. Mark, your defiance is clearly another end-time indicator, just like Jupiter's new red spot. And it can only foretell God's great plan for the annihilation of all human life except Dick Clark. The rapture is coming, for it was prophesied in Revelation 23 Skidoo, and I quoteth, and the day will come when a mysterious red blot appears on a ball-shaped thing in the heavens, and the squirming earth dwellers will do everything in their power to try to stop it, including applying cream, but they will fail and eventually be thrown into the hairy arms of Moloch, and then he will put them on his back, which is also hairy and covered with red blots. I'd like to go on from here, but it gets really disgusting. End quoteth. Well, there you have it, ye turpitudinous flagellates. This planet will be covered with God's great wrath so hard, it'll be worse than a table at your local IHOP, covered with peach maple syrup and arm hair. But none of that matters now, because while you're all down in Hades drinking David Guest's bathwater, I'll be sitting at the throne of Jesus and his retarded sister, Samantha. Until then, fornicators, keep on fornicating, and we'll keep the light on for you. In hell.
Thank you. Thank you, Cardinal. Matt, you know, as good as that was, the description of prions by Dr. Greger, I'll tell you, you know?
You make your own hell. And you meat eaters have indeed made your own hell.
What about the chopsticks in China, Jim? No. Man, we haven't even started. We haven't even gotten into the big issues.
Damn right.
Taxing chopsticks 5% to save the forest. I didn't even know about that issue, man.
It's and been around for years.
I know. I never even thought about it as an environmentalist person that I'm not. Because you think, you know, here chopsticks are somewhere like when you're at the Chinese place, they're like, you want chopsticks? You're like, yeah, why not have chopsticks? But you don't realize that billions of people eat with disposable chopsticks every day all around the world. And the parrots are hurting for it. There's no more of that wood anywhere. Do you know about this stuff?
Yeah, I do.
You want to hold the thought and talk about it in a minute? Why don't
you
do that?
I'll be here.
You know, we got more show coming up, people. We got We've got, who do we got? Todd Barry, the lovely Todd Barry, one of my favorite comedians and a close friend who's out here in L.A. He does not always live here in L.A. He's here working on Sarah Silverman's show, and I'd like to talk to him about what it's like to live in L.A. We've also got Al Madrigal, who is also a very funny gentleman. I just remember now, and we've got my wife, who's going to continue this horrendous assault on me with these weird, flirtatious letters to the Hispanic man at Jiffy Lube. Hang around, it's 29 Paz.
And now back to a guy who fell to pieces over Heather Locklear's impending divorce, Marc Maron.
Yeah, that's me, man.
What the hell does that mean? Got a big stack of envelopes here. Got my wife get into.
Man, what is it with you and your wife? You know?
She's having an affair with the, apparently with the Hispanic guy, Jiffy Lube.
Well, that's wrong, but it's, you know, very titillating.
I got it coming. I got it coming, Jim.
You did something.
I got a karmic return on this, man. You understand? I screwed up my first marriage, dude. I screwed it up because of that.
Well, wouldn't karma say that then that would mean that your first marriage would be screwed up and not your second marriage?
I don't know how karma works. What are you asking me for? What do I look like, a Buddhist? What the hell do I look like?
Right now you do look like a Buddhist, yeah.
I sound like one, too. What I'm saying is that you screw something up, it's going to come back around to bite you in the ass. That's how that works. You understand? That's what karma's about. I know what it's about. You don't know when it's going to happen. I think I have mouth cancer, too. I got a lot of problems right now in my head.
Your head's exploding, too, from meat cancer.
Meat? Don't. Why do you got to do that?
You got the meat thing.
You're gonna be like that guy Jim Fix. That's what you're going to be like.
Jim
who? Yeah, exactly. Mr. Know-It-All, write the things down. Hey, that guy who was the marathon runner, Mr. Jogger guy, the guy who was like, jog, 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 live until like...
Oh, yeah,
boom, drop dead. That's right. How about the guy with the carrots? He's dead.
Think how soon he would have dropped dead had he not been running that much.
Whatever, buddy. It's a genetic crapshoot. That's all it is. Little spiral things floating around in your bloodstream with prions in your head. The only thing you don't have that I might have are prions. Outside of that, I think we're very similar. And I have gray hair, and you're lying about yours. So,
I don't see any gray hair.
Did you...
Oh, you mean the part you dye gray to make yourself look more distinguished?
That's a good example of karma, my friend.
What?
A year with the fake hair thing on me, with the bad toupee, with the good toupee. A year.
Best toupee in the business.
It's coming back at you.
That's the way it was.
Coming
Everybody knows that you. About you. They've known about that about you for years.
Oh, no. No. It's not true. Yeah. Why would I have a toupee that looks like this? Here, Jim, here's a letter to you from somebody, from Peach Light. I asked if you were vegan, and I just got around to hearing the podcast from the other day where you answered that you were not because of the expenses. Well, mister, I added that, I feed a family of five for about $120 a week. That's three vegan meals a day plus snacks. It's really simple and not time-consuming.
Good God.
I wouldn't push it on you, but since you seem concerned with factory farming, you cannot exclude the dairy farms. They are pretty evil themselves. I'd be happy to share recipes and tips if you are interested.
Well, sure, if she can feed a family of five for under $130 a week, what are they, she feeding birds or something?
Why do you, this is a woman that's offering you some reasonable help, and she's calling you on your own stuff because of the milk thing.
She's right. I know, I can't go to Ralph's without spending $200.
This is sweet. I love it. She found the guilt in you. That's terrific. Not,
I'm only human. I make mistakes.
Oh, now look who's human. Mm.
Fabio.
Wait.
Incredible head of hair you have every day coming out of that suitcase.
That's just no. I am not Denny Johnston. Here we go. You remember that guy?
Denny Johnston, yeah.
There was nothing sadder than working with a prop comic. And, you know, because a prop comic, he's got that moment where you're off the stage in between shows, you're having a drink at the bar, and you just see him reloading his suitcase. It's rough. Dude, tell me about this thing. Tell me about this thing, the chopstick tax. Because this is something that I've talked to you about that I really didn't realize, but if you really think about it, it makes sense. That the reason they're taxing chopsticks is because by making chopsticks, disposable chopsticks, they're depleting the forest of what specifically, Jim?
Wood. Birch popular,
okay.
Mostly.
Okay.
But you know, there's bamboo, and then there I believe they were using balsa for a while too. And that's a
shame because you need that for the planes.
You need it for your little models.
Yeah,
and stuff.
That's a shame that the kids can't play with the planes because people got to eat with the chopsticks.
They used to be made out of teak and rare woods like that, but people don't throw those away. Those aren't supposed to be disposable. In China, they only became disposable in the early 1980s.
Wow.
Which is, you know, because the China wanted more hygienic chopsticks.
You should write a thriller about this.
Well, the thing is,
set in China.
It's like your head's going to explode in 10 years. You know, the whole earth is going to explode because they don't have any more forests left. And it's going to be toothpicks and chopsticks. Toothpicks and chopsticks.
Wow, Jimmy Buzzkill Earl.
Why the hell can't you just go to an Asian food place and to the restaurant and say, no, thank you. I'll have a fork, please, because people feel embarrassed by asking for a fork.
A real
at a
fork.
Chinese food place.
A real fork. You don't want a plastic fork.
No, you don't.
But sometimes they give you those chopsticks that are plastic, the fake ivory chopsticks. Those should be fine.
Okay, those are fine.
Chopsticks that you wash.
Absolutely.
You know what I don't like? Honestly, my big concern with chopsticks is the splintery ones. You know how you got to rub them together to make them smooth?
Those are the things that are killing the rainforest.
All right, okay. I'm an ass. I get it.
And that was my wheel of moderate anger.
Yeah, we didn't go overboard. Yeah. I understand, but it's an important issue, the chopsticks, and I'm glad you brought that up because I didn't know about it. I think Al Madrigal's outside, but here's another thing. There's a weird chord I've struck. I'm going to talk about George Bush and the war, but should I do it now? I mean, it seems like a weird transition. I could, but I'd rather just read this letter right now. I've touched a nerve with some progressives in this American Idol thing. Which I find unbelievable. Hey, buddy, I've spent my whole life questioning and rejecting tradition and conformity. I agree with you that mainstream media is horribly abdicating its responsibility to inform the public and keep people involved in things that really matter. But American Idol is not the problem. I used to feel as you do about it, but I've watched it for the past few years, and I have to say most of the performers come across as genuine and as people who really love singing and want that to be their life. Yeah, but it doesn't mean that they deserve it. All right, there are always some contestants who obviously do just want to be famous, but they almost always get voted off well before the end of the show. It's not the enemy. The problem is that the news on Fox, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, et cetera, is so horrible. Idol is, at worst, silly entertainment. It is good for people to have silly, mostly pointless entertainment. I don't know. Knowing all that I know about what is screwed up with the world, I still find it engaging and human, and I think people need a certain amount of that. It's certainly much better than all of the ugly, cutthroat reality shows on television. How about an educational show, perhaps? Maybe the History Channel, a little of that. Hey, I had no idea dinosaurs did that. Where's that? Oh, my God, Hitler was bad. Where's that? What, do we got to watch somebody who can't sing and say, no, it's so nice of me.
I watched a whole hour on the Discovery Channel about concrete.
I love those shows.
Man, that was great.
The best show I ever saw was how they make money, how they secure notes, the recipe for the paper for money, and how they secure notes.
That's entertainment.
I find it completely compelling, and that's why I found Heather Rogers' book about garbage so compelling. Holy mackerel. Al Madrigal just walked in the room. Sit down, fella. Get ready to lay out some funny. No pressure.
Yeah, we were talking about concrete and chopsticks.
Concrete, chopsticks, and making money, but not making money, but actually how do you make the paper for money? How are you, Al? Let me introduce you.
Great.
Al Madrigal is a comedian. Thanks for coming.
Sure. Thanks for having me. I've been drinking.
You have already?
Yes, a little bit.
Okay. Is that a warning?
No, I don't. If anything, it's going to be better. Yeah. And...
All day.
Oh, and then my uncle's on a meat company with prions in the meat.
Yeah. And they're not from outer space. I tried to if you knew what prions were, they're indestructible because they don't have a nucleus. I don't want to bore you with science.
Sure.
But you would think the guy I talked to said you can't even burn them with the sun. They'll live through anything. So I said, wow, what are they from outer space? But he didn't do that. He didn't laugh at all.
No, he didn't think it was
he left
funny?
Me hanging completely.
No, they're not from outer space.
It was worse than that. He just did not say anything. So Al, fun. Are you going to the? Are you going to do comedy tonight or what?
I did two sets tonight already.
Already?
I'm out. I've already done two sets.
So you are wasted.
Yeah. No, I've had a shot of Jägermeister.
Oh, you know what that does.
And I've had a Budweiser, and that's it. So I'm not really drunk.
Okay, that's cool. Jägermeister. And do you go home to your wife and new baby drunk like this?
Yeah, and I smack them around.
Oh no,
that's
no,
what I like
no.
to do. I like to beat them up, so, Latino style. That's what Bud Light's for.
What does that even mean, Latino style?
No, that's with it's spicy. Yeah, I don't know. It's ridiculous. I got asked to do. I think I might be one of the Latin kings of comedy.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
This is surprising me because I had no idea you were Latino.
Exactly.
Wow.
It's
who
ridiculous.
Knew? No, I actually did know that.
I thought you were Filipino.
Yeah, I'm half. I look Filipino. No, that's another guy.
No, I think that's...
You're confusing me with, like, all the other San Francisco comedians. No, I'm actually half Mexican, and I don't even really talk about being Mexican that much.
You don't, even when you do the Mexican rooms?
When I do the Mexican rooms, what I've done is I don't talk about being Latino at all.
Yeah.
I just do baby stuff and... just try to get out of there without being killed.
Really?
Yeah.
No,
I've hopped fences at Latino gigs before.
Come on.
No, it's terrible. I don't know if we want to get into talking about going from prions to Latino gigs.
No,
but,
it's great.
I get asked to do Cinco de Mayo gigs constantly, and the money's great.
Yeah.
But they don't want to see me. I had guys stand up in the middle of my act. I go to Stockton, California.
Yeah.
And I go in. And at first, I don't even know. I barely speak Spanish at all. I can get by. I can't use the ATM and push, you know, Espanol. I have no idea what withdraw means.
In Spanish?
And no, I have no clue. And then I get confused, and I have to cancel, and the card comes out. I've tried it.
But I like that you still tried just to see if somehow or another activated.
It would just kick in. But... I go to do these Latino gigs, and they say $2,000 for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
In East San Jose, California, and anything east is usually pretty bad. And I go in there, and I'm driving there, and it's Mexicans love oldies. I had no idea if you knew that, but they love war. Yeah. And anything like that, they go nuts for it.
Low
ride. Yeah. George Lopez is going, like, he bounces his head right around somewhere in a tricked-out bug. I get these calls, and so they're announcing it on the radio. They're like, we have this big Latino comedy jam, and Al Madrigal is going to be there. I'm seriously listening with my dad. I go, are we supposed to say it like that? Because you've been telling me wrong the entire time. I thought it was just Madrigal, and I didn't know it was Madrigal. And now Latinos are correcting me all the time. Wherever I go, I get corrected. And that's the worst, like, say, no, it's not Marin. It's Marron. That's not how we do that.
Then you feel guilty.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm 34 years in here of my own name. Thanks. You feel like a really big jerk if you don't know how to say your own name. Anyway, so then I go to the gig, and it's like, they rent out a GI hall. It's the worst. You've been on all these terrible comedy gigs. Have you given up a long time ago? Sorry. And
he's going to open for me next week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be great.
So I go to this big GI hall.
What? Oh, okay, a GI hall, right.
In East San Jose. Yeah. It's a big cafeteria.
Yeah.
And the guy before me is doing his entire act in Spanish.
Oh, no.
And my wife looks at me because I bring my wife and Alan Cranston's grandson.
What the hell is that?
The whitest guy of all time.
How does that? How do you get? How do you end up with Alan Cranston's grandson?
Hitchhiking.
No,
he's
a friend of yours.
No, that's why my little brother's friend from high school. So down to South Bay.
Okay.
So we bring him. He wants to roll out and see some comedy.
Yeah.
And we all walk in. And my wife looks at me, she's like, you got to get out of here. That's how scary it was.
Nothing like the vote of confidence.
Yeah, that's it. She's supportive like that. And,
we got to go.
Then I go and I have a couple shots of the styrofoam cups of the Montezuma tequila they're pouring.
Yeah.
And I get up the courage and I pretend to be a Latino Def Jam comic like Carlos Mencia. And I go up on stage and I'm like, wait, what's up, East San Jose? Where are you black people at? Black people make some noise. Black people. Nothing. And I go, where are the white people at? White people make some noise. Nothing. Just like half of me is the only white guy there. And then I go to the next gig. I got out of there. I go to the next gig. And I go in there, and it's Stockton, California.
And I end up, a guy stands up and he goes, he doesn't speak Spanish. And then starts violently flipping me off. And then I swear to God, I got the money,
yeah.
And I jumped a fence with a jacket over my head.
Hilarious.
So that's how those end up. So.
Our guest is Al Madrigal. All right. No, that's all right. We're gonna keep him here in the room, and we're going to talk some more because I'm crying because it's so funny. So stay with us. It's 49 past the hour.
How you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Now he folds up for your convenience. Mark Maron.
Prions are from outer space. Al Madrigal is our guest. He's a comedian. His website is almadrigal.com. We're just talking about being kind of Mexican.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Just not Mexican enough to get cast in anything. And
yeah, really?
No, it's just I'm a weird tweener. I think, where they want really authentic. They want valet Mexican now.
Uh-huh.
That's what they're looking for. that's what I was told. I was told that at casting just recently for this new show that's coming out, or it's a pilot, but it looks hilarious. It's about Let's Rob Jeff Goldblum.
That's what it's called.
That's what it's called. And it's Donald Logue and all these guys that work in a movie theater decide that they see him on Cribs.
Yeah.
And they're going to rob Jeff Goldblum, and it's a big heist. The whole season is them trying to plan out their robbery of Jeff Goldblum.
So what the hell is the second season?
Exactly. They pick another. Alan Thicke.
Oh,
they go from...
man.
I have no idea. But anyway, I went in there for casting for it as this character, Hector.
Yeah.
They're like, no, we're really looking for more of a valet Mexican.
What does that even mean? valet Mexican?
Valet.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, my wife is seemingly obsessed with the Hispanic man at Jiffy Lube.
Really?
Yeah.
Eagle, we live in the same neighborhood.
We do, man. And I have yet to come over to your house because I don't know where it is because you haven't told me. But maybe you'll tell me another time.
I'm waiting. I'm trying to fix it up.
Really? Yeah. How big is the house?
We have a small house, but we have a huge lot.
That's good. Big lot, small house.
Big lot.
So, how many kids did you...
I just had my second child, and it was about a month and a half ago. And are you having kids?
And you're already out drinking. That's great. Yeah.
That's what I do.
I know what you're saying.
But are you having children?
I don't know. Ask her. She's sitting out there. It's not up to me. It's her. You know,
but
she's
do you
going,
want to have kids?
Yeah, I want to have one so they can play with your kids.
Sure.
I can drive over for the play date and say, Al, I want to broaden my kids' horizons and have them meet some half-Mexican kids.
Quarter
now?
Yeah. Oh, no. When you get down to it, they're quarter Mexicans that they'd be associating with.
Now, who's more Mexican, your mom or your dad?
My dad's 100% Mexican.
Now, is he disappointed with you?
He's very, he wanted me to be as white as he possibly could. He sent me to French school. I went to French school in San Francisco.
Really?
Notre Dame de Victoire.
Huh.
And I wore a sailor suit. Every day.
Wow. Was that part of the requirement or just because your parents are weird?
Yeah, they're strange. Everybody else is dressed normally. I was wearing a lollipop, red balloon. I had to go and wear a sailor suit and took the bus, and I was humiliated, and it was terrible. And I didn't speak Spanish, and he sent me – I was a member of the Olympic Club.
What is that?
The Olympic Club, the golf famous U.S. Open golf club in San Francisco. And
you were a member there?
I was the first minority member – of the Olympic Club in San Francisco.
Did they put a picture of you up?
People throwing me towels. Oh, it was horrible.
No. Now, I'd like to talk a minute about kids, but we're going to have to cut away for a break. Why don't you stay with me for a couple more minutes?
Why have them? I don't know. I don't know what I'm thinking.
No, but you're asking me if I'm going to have them. We're just going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about whether you're going to talk me into having kids. You're going to tell me.
I'm going to talk you out of having kids.
Really?
Oh, they're terrible.
You and Louis. Louis C.K., the way he talks about his kids, they're horrible? All right. Well, hang out. We're talking to Al Madrigal. Am I pronouncing it right?
No.
Madrigal.
Yeah,
Al Madrigal. Do like the Mexican way.
Madrigal.
Okay.
Alessandro Liborio Madrigal.
All right. AlMadrigal.com. Hang out. It's about 58 past the hour.
live from Burbank, California, the self-medication capital of the world. It's the Mark Maron Show. And now, he's building his own private rocket. Mark Maron!
I am. I'm going to go find the source of the prions. Geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes. We're on the air here with Al Madrigal.
Yes.
Comedian. The website is almadrigal.com. He's half Mexican. And if you want to go down and protest tomorrow, the act that Sensenbrenner has proposed, H.R. 4437, that basically criminalizes being Mexican here in California in the United States, if you know somebody who's an illegal alien, if you've touched someone who's an illegal alien, if you've helped them in any way, given them lunch or money, you will be sent to jail as well along with them. It's a horrendous, horrendous bit of legislation. Go down and protest it tomorrow, 10 a.m. Olympic and Broadway is where the march starts. It goes to City Hall. If you want more information, go to ufw.org/LaGranMarcha, LaGranMarcha. Al Madrigal.
I was going to try to gather day laborers together.
Yeah.
And have them reenact, like, Family Guy or some... get him out there. And,
you mean just pay him and go rent a theater? And
yeah, just like the Home Depot players.
Yeah.
And see how that would work out. You think that would be funny?
It'd only be funny if they did it in Spanish.
Sure.
And you were the only one that didn't understand it. And you played like the dad.
Sure. We could do that.
All right. I'm just trying to work with you here. I'm not your enemy.
All right.
So let's talk about the things you got coming up, and then we're going to just sort of do a tag team and switch you out with Todd Barry, if that's okay. Yeah.
Well, he doesn't want to come in.
He does, but we only got three mics, it seems. Okay. I know there's a whole building full of radio studios, but we have three mics in here. But this Sunday in San Francisco, you're doing a benefit for your buddy who died?
Yeah, this guy started doing comedy with.
How's it going to help him now? It seems a little late to help him.
Donate the money to the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic.
Oh, that's very nice. Yeah. In his name.
And we do a Dan Crawford. His name is Dan Crawford, great guy. And we do a scholarship. Dan Crawford does a scholarship. And every year, a young comedian in San Francisco embodies the spirit of Dan, gets a scholarship, and we pay his bar bill for a year.
You're kidding, right?
No.
It's important to enable comedians to do the best work they can. All right, so the other benefit, which is huge, is the Dave Edgar's thing. That's the thing I did for you. What was that, a year ago?
Last year you did it.
That was awesome. There's like thousands of people at that event in San Francisco.
Middle school, and this year it's all sold. It's crazy, but Jimmy Kimmel, Sarah Silverman, to raise money for A26 Valencia and all the A26 writing labs that Dave Eggers has established. So.
And you say that you've been hanging out with Chappelle lately and going on the road with him a little
November,
bit. He might stop
he took
by.
Me out. Yeah, so he's in the city. I'm actually opening for him at the Punchline on Friday and Saturday.
It's interesting to me that he's doing the little clubs again, because he could certainly do whatever size room he wanted at
this
point.
He likes going to San Francisco. We were doing arenas. It was crazy. I was doing an 8,000-seat basketball stadium.
And he was filling them up.
Yeah.
That's great.
Sold out. My face on a jumbotron.
Really?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Where'd you do that? Where was the last gig you did with him?
Utah. I went to the Comedy Festival, the thing in Vegas. I performed at the Celine Dion Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And we did Reno.
Wow.
Girls' boobs pressed against the window.
That sounds like the real life.
Yeah, that's what you do. Ushered into Escalades, things like that.
Oh, man. And he's doing okay?
Oh, yeah. The guy's fine. Yeah.
And we were going to talk about kids briefly. Should I have them or shouldn't I have them?
I don't know. I don't know. Why bother? They're expensive.
Yeah.
They cry. They don't have any money.
Yeah.
They cry a lot.
Yeah.
And they're fantastic. I don't know.
They cry. They don't have any money.
And there's a lot of responsibility there.
Yeah.
But
especially when they're in pools.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. I was with my cousins, my nephews, and my mom left me with them at the pool, and there's a four-year-old in the pool, and it's like, what is that? Glad the kid's having a good time, but it could be dead in seconds.
My kid's the opposite. He won't even go near the pool.
You're lucky.
He's a wuss. No, and I'm like, what's your problem? Get in the water.
Just got throw
Don't
me.
You want to have fun? Don't you want to have fun? Hit him.
And kick him into the pool. That's not nice. Yeah. You got to teach him how to swim, though.
You got to come over and you should see the kids. They're funny.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to take you up on that since we live in the same neighborhood. And you can come over as well.
He held a spoon the other night in the tub. And he had a wooden spoon. And he said, Dada, look, I'm a comedian. And he said, "Hey, everybody."
Did he really?
That's all he had.
You're kidding.
No.
Did he really?
Yeah.
You mean he did the opening of Gene Pompa's act?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. "Hi, everybody." And he said, "My name's Gene Pompa, everybody."
Oh, now we're getting too esoteric for the people. People are streaming this.
Todd's getting upset.
All right. Al Madrigal, thanks for coming by. Thanks for making our Friday Night Funnies work. Is that really good, Friday Night Funnies?
Is that what we're doing now?
I don't know. No, we're just having some comedians on.
All right.
But, yeah, send Todd in on your way out.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Bye.
Here we go. I'm going to do this now. We here at the Mark Maron Show want to make positive contributions to society, so every night we bestow an honor upon one distinguished citizen whose actions most closely represent those of our esteemed vice president. Without further ado, we present the Mark Maron Show Dick of the Day. Folks, charity is a virtue. No one can argue with that. Taking care of one's family is also virtuous. I don't think anyone can argue with that either. It's amazing how insidious and morally bankrupt these two virtuous acts can become if you are a member of the Bush family. Former First Lady Barbara Bush is renowned for her compassion in the face of tragedy. I mean, who can forget when she appeared on the program Marketplace after touring the Houston Astrodome filled with displaced Katrina victims and said, quote, "What I'm hearing, which is sort of scary, is they all want to stay in Texas," end quote. And, of course, quote, "So many of the people in the arena here, you know, were underprivileged anyway, so this is working very well for them," unquote. The word saint comes to mind, folks. Well, the big-hearted Barbara Bush has outdone herself this time. She has just made a donation of undisclosed amount of dough to the Bush-Clinton-Katrina Fund, but not without two caveats. One, that she wanted the money to go towards education, specifically the Houston schools, where so many of these scary underprivileged child victims of Katrina are now enrolled. And two, that the money can only go to the schools that are using the Ignite Learning Program. This is an educational computer system. Here's the rub. Barbara's son, Neil Bush, founded Ignite in the late 90s. His mommy's charitable contribution and subsequent photo ops will serve as PR for the global marketing of the system. Can't you just see those two greedy, white man's burden-ridden Bush mugs smiling beside the scary poor kids sitting at computers? I guess if old Barb can rationalize it, she can rationalize it by the fact that Neil is sort of a charity case himself. He did barely avoid indictment for his involvement in the Silverado scandal, which cost the country billions of dollars. That's charity, right? So for showing us all that the heart of charity is fueled by the profit motive and nepotism makes Barbara Bush the Mark Maron Show's Dick of the Day. Wowie zowie. What's up? Todd Barry's here now. We just switched comedians.
Wow.
We just switched comedians.
A lot of comedians that don't have work on Friday night. That's good.
Al just did two spots.
Did he really?
Yeah, he just got done with two spots. Where's your work?
Wow.
Oh,
tomorrow
dude.
Night I have two spots.
Apologize. So, now, Todd, this is the first time you've lived in L.A. for this long?
Yeah, I've been here since March 5th.
And how's that going, man? How's the adjustment? Because you are a creature of New York, my friend.
I guess. I don't know. It's all right. It's better than I thought it'd be.
You like driving? I can't see you in a car.
No, I don't like the... I find left turns to be difficult. I was thinking about, like, how do you explain someone, like, if you're teaching a kid how to drive, like, left on green, well, you can't go left on green, but you can creep into the median on green and gun it when it's yellow, and it's kind of thing. I love left turn arrows, though.
Man. Yeah. Because then you just go right by.
Oh, my God.
I remember that fear when I learned how to drive. That was the scariest thing you could do. I mean, you didn't drive. How long was the last time you drove a car, really, for any consistent basis?
I mean, I go on the road and rent the car.
You do?
Yeah.
But I remember because that was a huge fear when I learned how to drive, just going out into the intersection, be like, oh, man, what if I'm stuck out here?
Right. And the guy coming the other direction is not.
He doesn't care.
I've had nearly two head-on collisions.
Really? Yeah. Are you panicky in the car?
No, I'm all right.
Yeah?
I'm getting just as vicious as everyone else out there. Watch out.
What have you been doing since you've been here? Anything?
No.
Nothing?
No, I've been writing for Sarah Silverman's new TV show.
How's that?
It's fun.
It is?
Yeah.
What's the premise of the show?
I don't know what I'm allowed to tell you, but it's her. It's like a day in her life.
Every day?
One day. Yeah, it's one day.
One day in Sarah's life.
Sarah Silverman's life. It's not a reality. It's scripted.
It's a scripted with day.
Yeah.
Okay. So it doesn't actually happen in real time? Or?
No, it's not. It's not a 24-hour-long show. That would put Comedy
Let's see if
Central
we can get anyone to call Todd Barry. We like to do this when Todd's on. 877-520.
So we're only on in L.A. right now? Is that
hey,
called?
Take it easy.
I mean, yeah, no, it's going L.A.'s amazing. A huge city. We're on in L.A.? We're on in all of L.A. right now? That's what I meant.
We're on in the whole city. We're going to be syndicating soon.
I got to say, the guy who gave me directions to get here,
yeah,
I would have more chance finding the place by accident. It's like, gives me the address, like, oh, as if it's like this little, you know, little row houses or something. You just, that's 3100. There we go. And you park there.
Right.
Oh, it's going to be in the dark, and the addresses will not be visible, and you'll be driving on a highway, and you won't find it.
You get accustomed to, like, addresses, like, in New York. It's like, it's that building. It's right there.
Yeah.
Here you drive up to something. It's like, oh, my God, is this a spaceship?
And then they go north. I don't know what north is.
I don't either. Not here.
No.
It's impossible. Because also, you know what the problem? I don't know if you have this problem, but because I'm oriented on the East Coast, in my head, the ocean is, you know, north is like the ocean's to the right if I'm facing north.
Right.
Okay? Here, the ocean's to the left.
Is
so
it?
Well, think about it.
Yeah, I don't even know where the ocean is. So.
Yeah, but I've always oriented myself like that because right. I'm a global thinker. You understand?
I know that.
Yeah, big time. So, no, we're going to be syndicating. We're going to be putting this up on the bird.
Well,
hopefully
I will
by next
I'll
month.
Stay here till we're syndicated.
Well, you can hang out. But
no, I'm hung out till we're syndicated.
Maybe if you get Sarah Silverman here and you just can live here, you can just do the show here.
Are you?
What? I'm kidding, man.
I know that.
Hey, so we're on the same show tomorrow. I'm not going to say where. You can say where you are, but I'm not going to say I'm on the same show because the last time I did the improv, I was headlining,
yeah.
And Carlos Mencia came in and did an hour and a half, and I left.
Oh, before you? Like he bumped you?
Exactly.
Oh.
So I'm not even going to mention it because I don't want people that are fans of mine to come down and have to put up with that.
But are we on the same show tomorrow?
If you're on both shows, yeah, we're on the
no,
same.
No, I'm on the Late Show.
I'm on the Late Show. And
are
so
you?
Is so is Mishnah, who's out there, and she's going to come read another letter. She's obsessed with a Hispanic man at Jiffy Lube, so that's what we're doing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And she's writing him letters?
Yeah, well, they all came back to me. They came back in the mail, and I kind of busted her on it, so she's reading me this cycle of letters that she's written this guy, and I don't know how it's going to end.
Really?
Yeah.
I was just helping her register her domain name out there.
Really?
Yeah, someone snagged her realname.com.
Someone took Mishnah Wolf?
Yeah, and it was looked up who registered, and it's would KE, what country would KE, would that be Kenya?
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Someone in Kenya took my wife's domain name?
Yeah.
I ought to. That guy's in trouble.
I probably shouldn't have brought it up because now you're going to.
No, and everything's getting.
Get on a plane to Kenya.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. No, it's probably the guy that sends those letters out that, can you help? You know,
right.
Saying, they can do all weird things through websites. They can run viruses through your website so it starts shooting out emails with viruses attached. Has that happened to you yet?
No, I have a Mac, which I don't think they usually go after Mac people.
I got to get a Mac, too. Someone's got to tell Proops, Greg Proops, a comedian, that there's one coming out of his. I got to write him. Because you get those emails, and it's sort of like there's an attachment, and
yeah.
You can't open it because it's not. 877-520-1150 if you want to talk to Todd
I don't
Barry.
Open attachments. That's a policy of mine.
I don't either. You can't open the attachments unless you know who they're
right.
from.
So even if I know who they're from, I go, did you send me something?
In a second, we're going to have my wife in here to read the next. Yeah, you all right?
Yeah, I'm all right.
All right, buddy. We got Todd Barry in the studio. It is the Mark Maron Show, 20 past.
Make six figures in his pajamas. Mark Maron.
Thank you, James. I just realized I should have peed on the break. Thought I'd share that with you. There's nothing wrong with sharing. That's late Friday night. No reason to freak out. The first 2 hours of the show were so loaded with information that was life-changing and disturbing. There's no reason that we can't have a good time for a little while. Though that good time might be derailed here as we enter, what is this, the fourth letter returned to me? From Jiffy Lube that my wife sent to a man there. So what number are we on here, Mishnah Wolf?
Why do we want to keep doing this?
Because it's honesty and it's something that that makes for good radio.
It's letter number four.
Your letter number four.
Letter number
to
four.
The Hispanic man, the non-named Hispanic man at Jiffy Lube that you apparently have some sort of thing with.
Yes.
Do it.
Dear handsome Hispanic man at Jiffy Lube.
This is awful.
I finally figured out our problem. Oh, and I need a headlight. I now know that you think I just want to sleep with you, and you want more. You thought I saw you as some sort of Hispanic man whore made for my Anglo enjoyment, but I don't. I mean, I might have 2 months ago, but everything has changed now. Hmm. Esta es diferente. What I'm trying to say is, I love you too.
Oh my God. Was that the end of that one?
Signed, the girl from Bay One.
Did you sleep with this guy or what?
Circumstantial evidence. I don't think it sounds very.
You don't think so?
No.
Did you sleep with him or what? Do you want to read one? Hold on. I'm committing to this bit. Here. Read that one.
Okay, great space work.
Thanks, man. Dude, I mean honey.
Dear handsome Hispanic man at Jiffy Lube, again, we can't keep meeting like this. My husband found all the receipts for Jiffy Lube, and he thinks I'm being tooled by the Jiffy Lube Corporation. He doesn't understand how my transmission fluid gets so dirty. I'm sorry, I didn't commit.
Come on, no giggles. Come on.
So I have to pay cash from now on. I'm not even supposed to be here right now. I'm supposed to be taking my friend to dialysis. But I'd rather be here, watching your bulging manly hands. I think we both know this isn't about oil anymore. So if there's any way we can meet outside the Jiffy Lube and take this to the next level, la próxima nivel, I'm ready. Also, I can't really afford to get radiator service again, and they won't let me have another oil change. The girl from Bay One. P.S., I hope you don't think this is too forward, but I stole your shop rag. It smells like your swarthy hair product, and I pull it out of my glove compartment and sniff it.
This is really disturbing. That one really is disturbing. That's what I have to say. I don't want to hear any more right now. Where's Todd? Todd Berry's here.
Hey, what's going on?
How would that make you feel if you had a wife, was reading that stuff in front of you?
I know. It's bad enough she's writing them, but she's reading them in front of your face.
Right in front of my face as I open the envelopes. I'm sorry, Wolf, that there's not enough mics in here for you. So wherever you go, just hang out, all right? Okay. Good to see you. It's my wife with the letter. This show is it. This is a. You know what they call this? A beautiful train wreck, my friends.
Groundbreaking.
So, hey, Todd, you've got a special coming on.
It debuts March 31st, Friday.
Friday. This Friday?
A week from tomorrow.
A week from tomorrow?
Today, yeah.
That's terrific. Stay around. We're going to talk about how it's going to be and what fun it is.
Hey, I'll stick around.
Oh, all right. Well, then, you know, apparently I have a little more time than I thought. So.
Hey, let's talk about it right now and then talk about it more after the
break. Where'd you tape it, Todd? Where'd you tape the special?
New York City at the Hudson Theater. And that's got to mean a lot to people.
Was there any problems?
There was a censorship possible. You have to... I should look at you when I'm doing this.
Yeah, why not?
When you do these TV things, this I never experienced. They say they want a transcript of the material, so you type it out, or you give them tapes.
Right.
So then they go, standards and practice, fine. We got to just run it by ad sales.
Really?
Your stuff has to get approved by ad sales.
So it's not just the censorship in terms of language. They got to make sure you don't assault the product.
Right. If a guy just has the, I don't know.
Like, they're like, hey, screw Nike's, the punchline. They're like, I don't know if that's like, a little racy.
We might be getting them as an advertiser, man. I don't want to alienate them. But I had an issue where, I don't think it was with ad sales. It was with the word,
Wait, don't say it. We're gonna hold it.
Oh,
we're
cliffhanger.
Gonna,
all right.
Yeah.
With the word dot, 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 dot.
Yeah, that's right. So bring in the music. 877-520-1150 if you want to talk to Todd.
Mark Maron and Todd is thinking about moving his stuff in a pod.
I guess you could call that the Todd Pod.
Yeah.
Todd Berry's here. ToddBerry.com.
ToddBarry.
There you go. ToddBerry.com. ToddBarry.
Not B-E.
I didn't say B-E.
I know. I'm just telling those people.
You're just reiterating?
People were thinking B-E. I'm sorry, but it's not B-E.
You know, I know there's some people out there. Look, you know, we had a lot of... a lot of funny on tonight. I hope that's not a problem. I hope that's not a problem with you people because it's Friday and we want to enjoy ourselves. First 2 hours, man, I literally was frightened to death by that Dr. Michael Greger. And then after him, wow, the garbage Heather Rogers, who I liked. I thought she was very intelligent.
Oh, yeah. She was hot.
And we had Al, and now Todd's here. Todd, now you're going to finish this story here?
Yeah, man.
So they censored what?
Oh, I did a joke. I wanted to do a joke about...
This is from your special. That's going to be on next Friday.
Yeah, next Friday.
On Comedy Central. Comedy Central Presents.
Right.
Okay.
It's not going to be on this Sunday, which is my birthday. It's going to be on next Friday, which is...
So you're my age, right?
I just
42?
Plugged my birthday.
42?
I just wanted to do a plug for my birthday, which is this Sunday, birthday.
Yeah, well, I could tell them where the party's going to be. How would that be? Wouldn't that be weird, man? You'd get some of our bloggers there. Gypsy would come out, and Krista P. would fly in from wherever she lives. I know where she lives. By the way, two questions I got to answer for the blog. Number one, whole bean. Number two, I'm sending the CD tomorrow. Go ahead.
Okay, so the... I was going to do a joke about with the anal sex in it, with
That's
the
fine.
Term anal sex.
That's, it's late. We can do that.
And
so.
They said that they bleeped the word anal.
What?
So I sort of said, well, can I talk to some people about it? Because it's really, I just say anal sex. I don't graphically describe it or anything.
Yeah.
And then I got on the phone with two standards people, and they were like, yeah, you can't say it. And I go, why can't I say it? Well, we want to show the show at any time. Show the special at any time, 10 a.m. Saturday, blah, blah, blah. I go, well, you could hear anal. You'd probably hear that on Oprah. And then she was like, well, that would be, in the medical context. So it's like, so I can't say it in a joke context. And then she said, yeah, well, see, the thing is, it's not like it would be surprising. Oh, so I can't be, you want comedy without surprise. And then, to top it off, one of their suggestions is an alternate phrasing. Instead of saying, they said I could say in the back door instead of anal sex.
Yeah.
And so I said, why can I say in the back door, but I can't say anal? I go, well, that's sort of jokey. And I go, well, the whole thing. What is it? I can't be jokey, or I can be jokey? Because when I said anal and joke, you said I can't say it, but then.
When they rewrite the joke for
When they
you.
Rewrite it, it's jokey. It's just like, I feel like anyone who might be offended by anal might also be offended by in the back door, but I could be wrong.
It's safe to assume that. But they're thinking like, well, if kids are watching it, they're thinking you're talking about it in the
right.
game.
Right, it's like you can explain that to your kid. Yeah. Like, what's mom, in the back door? Well, what he's saying is that woman's ass is the door, and... Wait, Mom, you mean anal? Yes. What? Hey, how did you know that? How did you know that word?
They learned it on Oprah.
I know, exactly. I was about to say that.
You were?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Did I step
right.
on your bit?
That's all right, man.
I had no idea that. I thought, yeah, I'm sorry, man. That's I feel awkward.
It's all right.
You're going to be okay?
Yeah. I got to get rid of this cough, man.
Are you doing Letterman? I think I'm getting a date in May. That's
are you
a rumor.
Really? I haven't done.
I haven't done it in a million years.
I haven't done that show in a while.
Did you just go back and do Conan a couple weeks ago?
No, I didn't. I'm waiting to.
Oh.
They said I couldn't say anal.
Yeah, you just did it.
They did?
Seriously, yeah.
I've said anal on Conan.
Why don't you know what you need to do right now is tell the damn joke.
Really?
Yeah, why not?
It's kind of, I feel like there's too much pressure on it now.
Dude, it's like no one's listening,
all
number
right.
one.
Well, the joke is, which you might make it to the spot, I don't know. Well, the joke, it's a true story.
By the way, you can't say anal.
Now, did you bleep that?
Yeah, I don't know. I think you'd be all right. I don't think. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, the joke. It's a true story, but I was going out with a woman. We had to talk about sex, and we're just like one of those. What have you done? And she said, "I'm making this more conversational."
Yeah, I can feel that. Like we're just talking. So this is some woman you went out with.
Yeah, and she said that she'd had anal sex before, and then she goes, "But don't ask me who it was with."
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I think if I made a list of every question I'd ask before that one, it would be a list of every question, including who shot JR, where's the beef, and why would you think I'd want to know that? All right, maybe not where's the beef, because she might answer that one. Oh, I sort of half committed to that joke.
Yeah, it was good. You make me laugh all the time.
Your four IC staff members are kind of enjoying it.
You're doing a lot better than I do with my jokes. Yeah.
But, yeah, man.
So, okay, so you're writing for Sarah's show. You're having a party on Sunday that I think I'm going to try to go to.
Yeah, come to the party.
Somebody on the blog actually knows that Louis C.K. is Mexican, which he doesn't talk about. Interesting.
I think that mysterious person would be Louis C.K.
I got to get him on. I feel bad that I haven't asked him to come on yet. We got to get him on. He's going to be, I think he's got his HBO thing. That's not till May. I was going to push it up, but why can't I have him on twice? Cause
I'm going to be on that show, too, since you brought his show up.
You're going to be on his
on
HBO
Louis
show?
CK's, yeah.
How many episodes did you do?
Let me think. One.
What'd you play?
I played what I've always played in anything. And the small sort of things I've done, it's always a clerk somewhere.
Yeah?
I play another clerk. Played a clerk on Home Movies. Played a clerk on Dr. Katz.
Do you,
gosh, my career is so amazing.
It is. Have you been going out on auditions since you've been here?
I auditioned for a movie yesterday.
How was that? Was it the movie, I don't know.
It's one of those things where you do it, and they all seem nice, but you do it once, and then you go, hey, you want me to try it again? No, that's all right. Gotcha. I must have really nailed it on the first take. No, that's all right.
I don't know what the hell I was thinking. I went on a few auditions, and I'm wearing a beard, and I got this hair. And how many people do you see on TV ever with a beard? When was the last time you saw a character on a television show with a beard? So I should have just been walking in going, hey, you know what? We shouldn't really bother at all with this. Thanks for having me. It's nice meeting you people.
Just walk and go, I can shave this.
I did that, but then they look at you like, sort of, well, then why didn't you? We've got a stack of headshots here of people. Do you ever walk in and see those stacks of headshots?
I always walk in and, like, see, I mean, I don't audition a lot, but I see, like, the character I envision in my head sitting there waiting to audition. It's like a serial killer, and like, oh, that guy is a serial killer.
yeah, that's just them throwing the hex on you.
But then I get the part, because I'm joking, I don't get any parts.
Well, Todd.
That was me being fake something.
Are you, you want to jam?
Yeah, let's jam, boom, bada boom, bada boom.
Remember the last time we tried that?
Oh, my God.
And it's a long time ago.
Oh, I could tell you about that. Do we have a couple minutes?
Yeah.
I did something funny recently. I don't know. Do you know what I did?
I did a
a Billy Joel tribute band thing.
You did?
Me, John Benjamin, John Glazer, who are hilarious guys.
Yeah.
James McNew from Yola Tango.
Uh-huh.
And Tom Shalhoub, also a funny guy.
Very funny.
We did this thing, a band called A Matter of Trust, which is a Billy Joel tribute band that only plays that song. And we usually play it twice. And our gigs, we've done three gigs at the Bowery Ballroom. We did Eugene Merman, the comedian, had his show. Then we opened for Yola Tango. And the other night, like a few weeks ago in New York, we played between New Pornographers and Belle and Sebastian in front of 2,000 people. We've done three. Yeah. Lucky. Venue-wise, we've been pretty lucky.
Who sings?
John Benjamin. He can just sort of sing, which makes it... And I could just sort of play drums. And everyone can just sort of do it to me. It's like, hey, that's kind of...
That's
cool
hilarious.
For guys who aren't musicians. But we've done a couple of shows where we played it twice in a row. And we do a really long version to begin with.
Are you still doing that thing with Dave Cross and Benjamin?
Oh, I think we're going to start doing that up again.
Are you going to do it out here? You're just going to do it back in New York at Tinkle?
Back in New York. It's called Tinkle, yeah.
Big show. Todd Barry at toddbarry.com.
Yeah.
The phone lines have not rung off the hook at all.
Really? That's all right, man.
877-5-2.
I'm chatty tonight.
Yeah, 877-520-1150. I think we almost got you a date the last time you were here, didn't we?
Yeah, that was in New York.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's a radio show. Come on, man. All right. So Sunday, the party. Were you 42 years old?
I guess now I am, yeah. Now that you've revealed that.
What are you talking about? You could have said no.
No, man. 28, man.
Ah, there you go.
I'm 42. Isn't that disgusting?
That was so. No.
You're 42 also.
I am 42, and I'm okay with it.
What are you gonna do about it?
There's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Do you find yourself waking up in the morning going, oh, no, it's ending?
You just feel weird, like when you're logging onto MySpace at age 42.
I don't see myself as older. But
no,
I
know. That's me neither.
Yeah.
Unless I perform at a college. I feel like, wow.
You do well at colleges, don't you?
I do all right, but I feel like...
They're kids.
Yeah, I feel like...
You feel
they're adults, but they're kids.
They think they're all adults, too. Do you feel kind of pervy sometimes?
I do.
Yeah.
And I am, and that's why. No.
All right, Todd.
And I'm wanted in 12 states.
Oh, come on.
I'm kidding. That's not even funny.
You're not, especially considering Vince Champs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. So thank you, Todd. I'll see you Sunday. Happy birthday.
Man. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Are we going to end with the letter to God? Are we going to do that? Because we got some music in here. What's going on in my head right now? Who's that?
They're playing the... How'd you find that so quickly?
Chris is like on it.
I hope that's a legal download.
We had a guy on yesterday who has a sidebar, just said he was playing with a touring version of Duran Duran. Bang, Duran
really?
Duran. So why don't we go out after the song?
Are we still on the air right now?
We are.
This is fun, man.
Yeah, we'll fade that down, and then we'll do one of my letters to God. How's that? Beautiful.
Marc Maron.
That was weird. Are you getting tired, Jim? You need a candy bar?
I was doing the kind of jazzy.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
It's all right, buddy.
You know, too much Todd Barry. I take on his
chases. Ouch, buddy. I promise, man, Monday, you can do a lot of politics. Not tonight, though. Tonight's our night.
We had almost an hour full of horrible facts and figures.
But it's weird because I was actually thinking about some stuff. Yeah, I was thinking about some stuff. I was doing some speculative analysis. I'll get into it next week. I've been writing all my thoughts down lately in the form of letters, not like my wife's letters, though. So if you don't mind, I'd like to share with you my latest letter to God. Are you there, God? It's me, Mark. God, I've always been an agnostic bordering on atheist. Could you give me some indication that you exist?
Okay, Ron, look, remember that development deal you had a few years ago that nearly amounted to something, but nothing ever happened with it?
Yeah.
Well, that was me.
But that was a huge disappointment.
Yep.
Oh, God. God? Now, let's get to the more important things, which is the closure on this thing with my wife, Mishnah, who has stayed here all night to hash this out.
I'm a hostage.
That's at home. Okay. Here, we are going through these returned mail, snail mail letters that you've been sending to the Jiffy Lube guy, Hispanic guy at Jiffy Lube. I'm still relentlessly committing to this.
All right.
Wait, don't read it yet. I haven't opened it. Okay, go ahead.
Dear handsome Hispanic man at Jiffy Lube, yeah. I've been thinking long and hard on it, and the way I see it, there's only one solution to our problem.
Oh, God.
We have to kill my husband.
Oh, great. Good.
I know this is starting to sound hacky, like one of those film noirs, but it doesn't have to be hacky.
Mm-hmm.
It can be as original as our love.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you're strong... by your strong manly hands that you are a good person, so it'll be hard for you to kill. But it's really the only way for us to be together and for me to buy you your own Jiffy Lube, like the one I promised, where you don't have to do anything all day but run your fingers through your hair and change my oil, because I still don't know how. So think it over, and if you love me like I love you, meet me in the alley behind Pink's. I'll have a polypropylene bag, some rope, and a shovel.
That's how I'm going out? You've got a big plan? Here, wait, let's...
And my love.
Oh, here. All right, read that one that I just opened.
Okay, dear handsome Hispanic man at Jiffy Lube.
Yeah.
Where the hell were you? I waited for you for two lonely hours in the cold. Also, I guess I'll take an oil change. I know it's only been 230 miles. I know it must be some misunderstanding that you would never stand me up because I know you're a good man. And so the whole murder thing must have really bummed you out. So let's just run away. But I can't buy you your own Jiffy Lube now. And although it breaks my heart, you will have to still stolly your perfect, bulging, manly hands with work, but at least we'll be together.
Mm.
You want to hear how this goes out? Open the last letter, Mark. Okay. Just open the last letter.
Will you start reading it while I'm opening it? Go ahead.
Dear handsome...
Wow, that was so fast. Got it right there.
Go ahead. Dear handsome Hispanic man at Jiffy Lube, I don't know how else to tell you this, but I can't do it. I've thought long and hard on it, and I'm just afraid I can't leave my husband, Mark. I know that we were going to ride off into the sunset, and you were going to make my belly fat with lots of Jiffy babies. But I simply realized that I couldn't do that to my husband, no matter how big your hands are. I won't be back, but I will think of you every hour of every day. You will burn on in my memory forever, handsome Jiffy man. And if I have to buy something, I guess I'll get new wiper blades.
Thank you. I'm glad that I lived and that everything's okay. So are we cool?
Yeah, I mean, if you can forgive me.
You know what the weirdest thing is that the jokes, the last bit of short order jokes, are in this envelope. I love
are we you. On Carson? All
I, love you. I love you, baby, and I'm so glad that we had this fun together. And now it's coming to an end. This has been one of the greatest shows that I've ever been part of tonight with you people. Can I just say that?
Can you feel the love?
A lot happened in the world today, and we want to make sure you're caught up on current events before you go to bed. So here's tonight's edition of Mark Maron's Short Order News. A Kaiser Permanente hospital in Bellflower is under investigation for allegedly dumping elderly and homeless patients on L.A. Skid Row. Police knew something was up when several homeless on the street held up signs that read, "We'll work for a $2,000 deductible." Wait, let me do this envelope.
Dear Jiffy Lube Man.
No, it's another joke. After stopping a driver for speeding in a Los Angeles suburb, authorities found a homemade bomb in the backseat of his car. The LAPD removed the bomb from the car, beat it for several minutes, and then laughed after a series of high fives. On that envelope. A new study reports that California sends the second smallest percentage of high school seniors to four-year colleges. When one high school graduate was asked if he would try to attend a four-year school, the student replied, "Four? That comes after three, right? Four after three? What, are we all checking out? Was it sleepy time?" It's Mark Maron, Short Order News for tonight. What?
Is that still in the reply?
What? We got a lot of show next week. Sarah Silverman will be here. Dave Koechner from the movie Thank You for Smoking. I will be here. Jim will be here. Chris from Kansas, I'll introduce you to him next week. Brendan McDonald, of course, who will be leaving us in a couple of weeks. And Bill Kohler will be taking his place. Of course, gentle giant Paul Asplund out there on the phones. Be nice to Paul. Thank you, people, for blogging. And all you people that are disappointed that there wasn't enough politics tonight. Well, lighten up, will you? It's only the end of the world. All right? And don't have a steak, though. I'm telling you, that's no way to celebrate, apparently, unless you want to have prions from outer space in your brain and your pee. Right? Prions?
Chopsticks.
Oh, yeah, chopsticks are bad, too. Don't eat. You know, Jim, it's too tall an order. What's that? My wife is saying something, Chris.
Okay. Don't turn me back on.
All right, turn her off. I love you, baby. I really do.
There's a stall on the 405 North.
There's a Sigalert. You got to say Sigalert here. Sigalert. Good night, sheeple. Have a good weekend. Okay.